Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey there, WNBA Nation fans. This is Jason, editor of the show here at WNBA Nation, and I just wanted to hop in real quick and orient y'all as to what this episode is. This is part two of our release of the W25 according to our show. So this isn't the official WNBA W25. This is our W25 compiled by the hosts of this show. As such, today's part two is going to cover numbers 10 through 1. If you would like to catch numbers 25 through 11, that was yesterday's episode. I highly recommend you jump back a day in your podcast feed and catch that one first, because there were a lot of fun conversations there as well. And today's episode will not disappoint. Lots of fun conversation, lots of reminiscing about really great basketball that we've seen over the 25 years that the league has been playing basketball. Lots of fun. Really excited for this episode. As always, if you want to connect to us, there are many ways to do so. You can go on Twitter at WNBA Nation Pod. That's a great way to stay in touch with us and hear the latest about what we're thinking about what's going on in the league. You can watch our show live as we record it. Just go ahead and follow us over at twitch.tv/WNBA Nation. If you have an Amazon Prime account, or if you just feel like supporting the show in a more monetary fashion, you can always subscribe. That helps us out, gives us a little bit of cash in pocket to help with the operating expenses of the show. Another way that you can help the show, if you want, is to go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. A 5-star review plus your subscription really helps us out in the algorithm. So subscribe to the show on whatever platform service you use, and then go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Like I said, that really helps us out, gets us in the front of the algorithm, and we try to help you out back by letting you have some fun. We give you a shout out on the show and read your 5-star review on mic so that everyone can hear it and can hear how much we appreciate it. That's a really cool part of our what we do here, is being able to read those 5-star reviews. And lastly, if you would like some merch, you can get it at wnbanation.storeenvy.com. Store Envy only has one E in the middle. wnbanation.storeenvy.com. Check that out. If there's anything you'd like, go ahead and order it. And without any further ado, I'm going to send it over to Kyle Stephen Logan. Because this was recorded as a single recording session, there's not going to be any preamble or introductions. They're just going to get right into conversation. So I'm not going to slow y'all down anymore. Here's the theme music.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, this is Liz Cambage.
This is Nikki Collin.
What up, guys? This is Esther Starford.
Hey, this is Imani Miggy Stafford.
Hey, this is Jordan Canada.
This is Asia Wilson.
Welcome to the WNBA Nation.
All right, let's head into our top 10.
Gosh.
We have been recording for a while, and we haven't even got to our top 10 yet. So let's hop in on these. I think, just for the sake of time, let's do one more group of five, and then we'll give our top five individually.
I agree with you.
Yeah, 10 to 6 is, yeah, we've been taking a little longer on these than I anticipated. So
always.
How did you
so
anticipate that?
Number 10, Sylvia Fowles.
So.
Number 9, Tina Thompson. Number 8, Lauren Jackson. Number 7, Cynthia Cooper. And number 6, Candace Parker. There is your 6 through 10 as far as our W25 list goes. Logan, I'm curious your thoughts initially on these five players.
Yeah, I'm doing some comparisons to my rankings right now. And again,
sorry, like, really fast. Kyle, who was 8?
Go on.
8 was Lauren Jackson.
Lauren Jackson, thank you.
Yeah. We're all, I mean, Lauren Jackson's a spot away from where I had her. Tina Thompson's pretty close. I had Tina Thompson up at 6. But that's like these are all top 10 players that I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say there is one that's further away than the rest. In fact, she might be the furthest that our group has ranked compared to my personal rankings so far. Candace Parker is my 12th, which I still don't feel like is disrespectful. Top 12 all time is like, it's top 12 all time.
See,
Parker up at six is a little surprising, but like, it's still not something that I'm like upset about. It's just, you guys must have had her much higher.
Logan, just you pointing that out, there's only one, two, three instances where any of us ranked anyone on the top 10 of our list outside of the top 10. And those were at like 11, 12, and 13. So pretty, and it wasn't all one person. So we pretty much all agree that these 10 players are a top 10 with rare, rare exception.
I want to stress.
And at that point, they're like 12.
Yeah. I want to stress to the listeners how rare that is. Like, we didn't talk about specifics in our chat, like, oh, I've got these players really high. But we came to a pretty good consensus on our own, which is rare for us three.
Yeah. These top tens, we all can say are top tens, but we're gonna bump them around back and forth a little bit. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Barring one hell of a shocker, Candace is my only top fiver who won't be listed top five from what I can see.
Right.
And it was a 1 point difference. So like but I've got her at five exactly. I'll put it this way. All of my top five players, I had points allotted to different all-time rankings as far as statistics and MVPs, rookies of the year, defensive player, all-star selections, things like that. All of my top five are the only players to register over 100 points. Candace is literally at 100. Syl is at six with 99. Syl is one of my biggest shockers. I knew she would be top 25. I had a feeling she might crack the top 15. I didn't think I'd have her at six. Her numbers really spoke for themselves. Candace is one of the only players I have who I went through five individual stats, points, assists, rebounds, blocks, steals. I had MVP, finals, MVP, championship wins, rookies of the year, defensive player, all-star selections. If she's not the only player, she's one of only two to three players who registers on every single list.
Every one of them. Yeah. Every single one. She's on all of it.
She is only 24th in steals, but she's top 12 in the other four individual stats. She did just pull in a defensive player of the year. We obviously have talked a hell of a lot about her winning rookie of the year and MVP in the same year. She has a finals MVP to boot, and it's a little controversial. Some people might have given that one to NECA. So like, I feel good in like standing her at five, but it's six. So I'm just going to live with that. That's fine by me.
None of these are really upsetting.
I have one player. We'll get to her when we get to her, but I only have one player not in the top five, if this is what I'm seeing, and I kind of disagree with it. But we'll get to that when we get to that, because I have a thought about one of my players that I can't share right now until we get to them.
Yeah. So there, we'll get to our top five here, and we'll touch on a name that is the top in this category. But one of the names that Kyle just read off is number two all time in career win shares. And it's Lauren Jackson.
Lauren Jackson. Yeah. I was going to say, it's got to be Lauren. And Lauren Jackson, just so you guys know, Lauren Jackson's at eight.
She was pound for pound the best player for two titles in Seattle. I mean,
yeah.
Lauren Jackson's at eight, and our rankings have Lauren Jackson at 8, 8, 7.
Awesome.
Like, we are very well in consistency with Lauren Jackson.
Yeah. Fouls, let's see. Fourth in blocks, all-time rebounds, 13th in points. She has three defensive players. She has two finals MVPs. She has an MVP to boot for herself. That one's insane to me. And it's so funny I love her and Candace being so closely linked, because I feel like as pros that never, their pairing doesn't get discussed as much when they had this epic college rivalry.
Not that this matters, but I have Candace Parker and Sylvia Fowles ranked back to back in my ranking.
I have them back to back, and they're separated by a point. Like, it's so interesting. And like that side of things is just nuts to me. Lauren Jackson at eight makes a lot of sense, but for what you said on win shares, like, it's I wanted her to be higher. I couldn't find a way to make it work when I was looking at stuff, but I wanted her to be higher because she's one. She, it's interesting that she's pound for pound the best player, and the other player who's in that discussion is much higher, and we'll see why soon, I have a feeling. I'm going to need a minute before I talk about Cynthia Cooper, because there's a certain other individual that just, I can't help but talk about Cynthia when we talk about that individual. So I'm holding off those. Yeah,
Cooper is the player that I have in my top five that I think is going to be the one that I don't get in our top five.
But I do. Here's the thing with Cynthia Cooper. Though, I do got to say though, for all we've talked about this Minnesota team that pulled in all these players, we got three Comets in the top 10. So I don't know what we've been talking about.
Comets,
like, it's nuts.
Bring them back.
Here's the thing with Cynthia Cooper, and I know Steve did some extrapolation as far as like points, you know, in reality, Coop only played four seasons. Technically, she played like a random four game stretch in 2003, but she really only played four seasons, which if you look back at a 25 year history of a league, Cynthia Cooper set a foundation, but it's really hard if you've only played in like 15% of the actual seasons of the league. Like, Bree Stewart has played in significantly more seasons than Cynthia Cooper. Asia Wilson is just hitting her fourth season.
Yeah.
So she and Cooper will play the same amount by the end of this year. And so that's where it's hard because, yes, it was a foundation, but it's hard because if the WNBA is 10 years older, then obviously we have Cynthia Cooper, and we probably have several other names. We have Cheryl Miller, you know, that are going to be on our list here. But that's what's tough about the Cynthia Cooper pick here. Now, a lot of people will say she is the GOAT, and I've seen on Twitter people saying Cynthia Cooper is the GOAT. That's why I didn't have her in my top five, was because she played in 15% of the seasons.
The criteria for this list will differ from person to person. And I like the, I kind of hate that it's a Bill Simmons thing, but he brings up all the time, like, if you were putting together a starting five for the planet Earth, like who do you want on that team? And so it takes the longevity argument out of it. It's basically like, just who are the best five players to ever touch the floor in their prime?
That's where Maya Moore might make that list.
Yeah. That's where some of these players who didn't play as much, like, you can see them rise and fall depending on how much weight people put behind that sort of thing.
You see, here's the thing. I definitely would say Cooper, if you took that 4-year run, find me a player with a 4-year run that matches that, right? She very much has that Bo Jackson like
4 years
discussion.
Yeah, that's the best short, 4 years of basketball.
Short run, but that run changed the sport and very much did. Now, people may stop listening to the show after I say what I'm about to say, but like, I am, this is embarrassing. I'm a professional wrestling fan. I enjoy watching professional wrestling, not as much as I used to, but it's something I get into here and there, right? I know I'm a loser and I'm a dork and I know it's fake, but if you like wrestling, you hear a lot about what are called dream matches. You know, you take a wrestler from 30 years ago and someone from today who were the best at a time. Wouldn't it be so cool to see them in a match? If there was like a dream match of like, if these eras paired up, I have to see these two go against each other on the basketball court. It's Cynthia Cooper and it's Diana Taurasi. Those are the, like, Coop was DT before DT was DT. And that's what I think what people, this is all to say, because I know we're going to get to DT. I assume it would be one heck of a surprise if we didn't.
If we don't, I'm closing my laptop.
Yeah. it's over. This is to say,
we just don't ever upload this episode.
The reason I bring that type of thing up is to say, like, I understand where people can squeeze in the GOAT discussion simply to say, when I went through W history with the Comets, like, that was weirdly like I could almost call it a life-changing experience. Like, it was a big deal for me when I went through all that, because I got to watch a lot of footage, and the thing is, yes, when you go through long, it's hard to make the numbers work when you really only had four full seasons and then a couple games a couple years later. But I don't know that I'm yet to find another player who I get more physical enjoyment out of watching play basketball at their full 211 level quite like Coop during that time. It is,
right.
Even if all you can find is clips on YouTube, it is unreal. She also has the best college highlight video of all time. There's a highlight video on YouTube of her at USC, and it's freaking funky and fantastic, and it's great. But it's, she was such an amazing, like, people were calling her at the time, and I know people hate the male player comparison, so I'm not trying to do that. I will, but at the time, like, people were calling, like, she's Michael Jordan. And here's the thing. Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan at the time. So, like, that comparison was pretty huge. And she played up to it. And the only thing that hurts her is the fact that she happened to be 34 when they decided to launch this league. And, yeah. you know, she was a legend in Europe before this happened. I like the spot here. I would have had a hard time justifying her top five, but she's someone that I literally gave like a multiplier when I was compiling points. Cause in my head, I just went like, I can't put Coop at like 23.
You have to rank with your heart at a certain point.
Yeah. It didn't feel right. And yeah.
I think it's smart. I think we're spot on. Let's hit top five. All right, we're going to hit these one at a time. Number five on our W25 list is the one and only Cheryl Swoops.
There it is.
Swoops.
I knew it.
Yep. Cooper and Swoops. And here's the thing. I'll be honest. If I do our aggregate scores, Cooper and Parker, so Cynthia Cooper and Candace Parker, who are technically our 6-7, are tied as far as where we've ranked them. Like, they have the exact same average score between what the three of us have put them at. The reason I put Parker ahead of Cooper is because Candace can still add to the resume. So I kept her there.
That's fair.
But the difference between Swoops and Cooper is about one spot between where each of us have them.
Here's where this gets fun.
Which is funny.
Here's where this gets fun, Kyle. Sorry, I keep jumping in and talking way too much. But I put Cooper, when I was doing this point system, I created, I'm a dork, the Cooper-Thompson multiplier. Basically to say, I took the average of her tenure and Tina Thompson's tenure. She was the first draft pick. So she started fresh right at the start of the league. And then I used that as a percentage multiplier to increase the numbers to say, like, if she had a generally a typical length of a league, about where would you see your prowess? Doing that at random, not fudging those numbers at all, that put her 10th with 77 points. 9th with 78 points is Cheryl Swoops.
I was going to say, they're so close.
1 point.
Yeah.
And if you've read anything about the story of Swoops and Cooper's relationship, if you watch the Swoops documentary and learned about their relationship, if you happen to listen to our W History coverage of the Comets, thank you if you did, and learned about Coops and Swoops and Cooper's relationship, this literally would force Cynthia Cooper
it's
to
so
lose.
It's so poetic.
Like, it's hilarious. 1 point. I gave you a multiplier and you were 1 point short.
Steve took such an analytic approach to this, and I took such a shoot from the hip approach to this, and our lists are still so close.
That
I feel totally justified never learning math.
Yeah, exactly. I had a feeling top 10 it would do that. It would just think, this is the top 10. But freaking
Swoops,
man,
awesome.
if Swoops, you know, I'm glad she started a family. Good for her. If she starts that first year of the WME not having had a baby and taking time off, I can't help but sit and think, like, are we talking about Swoops still as number one all time? Like, it's, when you look at what she immediately picked, I mean, within the next decade, she had three MVPs.
Right.
She was a three-time, and she's one of only three players to have three Defensive Player of the Year honors. She was a key component in at least three of those four Comets titles. I could go on all day about my take on Swoops. It's interesting because I have them barely in the top 10. I have them 10 and 9. She's at 5. She's the only top 5 player, as far as I can tell. We'll see what happens, that I don't have in my top 5, but I get it. I do get it.
I put Swoops one level ahead of Cynthia Cooper. I have Swoops one spot ahead of Cynthia Cooper. And my determining factor, because it's such an interesting, the parallels and yet also the collisions that these two players with Cooper and Swoops have had throughout their careers. Yeah. What literally led me to put Swoops ahead of Cooper was because Cheryl Swoops is the first professional basketball player's name, or professional women's basketball player's name that I knew as a child. I knew Cheryl Swoops. That's the first name that I learned. And I remember like knowing that before anybody else, I knew Cheryl Swoops. And that was literally that was the determining factor for me. So that's kind of just goes to show you like the amount, like the amount of variety that goes into some of these picks.
Something about the catchiness of the name that was just like
Cheryl Swoops, who, like, you know, playing there hoops. It is.
Yeah. Like
I'll do the honors here. I know everybody in the top five is going to have an insane resume, but between 2000 and 2005, three MVPs, three defensive player of the years.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's very good.
Dallas run. You'd be shocked to hear that only rendered one title at that time, too. Like, yeah. You know, oh, my God. And considering, by the way, she sat at least one of those years she was out with an injury, too.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't pull in hardware for one of those seasons because she's injured. So it's really only one other season where she isn't dominating the league.
One, two, three, four, five, six. She was seven. She was all WNBA seven out of her 10 seasons.
That's really
not an all-star, all WNBA, like starting five.
Top five player. Yeah.
She has six all-star nods considering she sat out two full seasons with an injury and the first two seasons in the history of the league, there wasn't an all-star league. Like an all-star game.
Yeah. So there's four seasons gone, and she still made six.
One of the injury years was one of the first NBA-ish, but still, you're looking at technically she has like one season where she would have been healthy and eligible to be an all-star and didn't. Otherwise, it happened. I mean it's all there. I mean she really stands for herself, and I will say too on like on a personal individual level. I mean she came on hard times. She seems to be back on her feet. And is getting there, and that's nice to see, and I hope that maintains itself, but dang,
I'm trying to picture...
Bring the Comets back. I don't get
it. I'm picturing a modern day, like, imagine a Milwaukee Bucks team that, like, Giannis leads and wins only one title, but three Defensive Player of the Years and three MVPs in a five-year span. We'd be talking about him like, this is the greatest player of our generation.
Yeah.
Fifth.
Okay, here we go.
Oh gosh.
Fourth on the list is the one and only Lisa Leslie.
Here we go.
At number four.
Here we go.
This one I think makes a ton of sense. I think that pretty much, I don't know, there's so many arguments you could make for really a lot of these. I think that these top eight players are probably going to bring in the vast majority of the vote for the GOAT votes. Yeah. Like, I think that these top eight players that we revealed are going to really bring pretty much all of it in. Lisa Leslie being the only LA Spark in this top eight with such an incredible... that's a lie. Candace Parker. Candace Parker.
Well, I was going to say...
Forgot because Candace is playing in Chicago right now. So
that she is the most LA Spark because she was a lifer. She was only ever an LA Spark.
But Lisa, again, one of those pioneers of the league, but also had a lot of the longevity. You know, played into the like late 2000s. Like, did a really solid job of staying around in the league.
Well, she was one of the I don't know if we've talked about this on a W history yet, but she started younger than, like, she started at 24, where college kids now start at maybe 22, 23 if they're lucky. And, like, that wasn't the norm back then, because there wasn't an obvious path from college to the WNBA.
The first non-Laker professional basketball player in Los Angeles to have her jersey retired, the Sparks retired her jersey. Where are you at, Clippers? And by the way, you said, you know, you said she was the most spark. She was also a USC Trojan. I mean, she is Los Angeles. So like I'll tell you this much, growing up in California, like, yes, there was always stigmatism about women's basketball, but like Lisa Leslie's name was never to be trifled with. Like, she was LA royalty. Like, she was legend. People still today will like crowd around a corner store somewhere and talk about her scoring 101 points in a half a basketball. Yeah. Like it was just what it was. And she very nearly played in high school with Tina Thompson. They missed each other by 1 year. How freaking unfair would that have been? I mean, she is, I'll get it right now. She's second on my list. And that's purely by numbers. Mm-hmm. I did nothing to fudge that. Ninth in points, fifth in rebounds, second in blocks. She registers in the top 20 in steals at her size, which is kind of nuts. She's one of only three players with three MVPs. She has two finals MVPs to back herself up. She won Defensive Player of the Year two different times. She obviously went to the All-Star game eight different times. And that's considering taking a couple years off for injury and 1 year off and she had a baby. She is the key player on the last team to have a repeat championship. We'll see if Seattle changes that.
That's an interesting stat. I like that.
No team since Lisa Leslie Sparks has repeated as champions. You obviously have that Minnesota year where they went odd years, which is a cool thing. So it's one of those things where I go, the numbers didn't completely shock me. It's just when you look at the rest of that top five, and especially the other three players that are about to be mentioned, she's that player that like breaks into that top three discussion and people are like, wait, really? Huh? And that's where I claim, I think there's a bit of a recency bias based on like, if you put those three players we're about to mention above her, I get it. Like, I'm not going to question that at all. However, I think you have some players that are still currently playing at a very high level and reaching legendary status. You have a player who just very recently got put in the Hall of Fame and whose name is being brought back up stock-wise. And it's been so long since we've seen Leslie play the game, and we only see her pop up every now and again, that I think people forgot just how dominant Lisa Leslie in her dominant years was. Other,
I won't necessarily say this is a problem. Maybe it's just me, but a problem with like these top five, top 10 type players is when you start looking at the resumes, especially on like Pro Basketball Reference or Wikipedia, where they're all like bunched together, the numbers start to lose their meaning. Like, and I know that sounds dumb, but like you're just reading down this list of like three MVPs, eight all WNBAs, and then you compare them to other players and you're like, oh, MVPs, all WNBAs. And you start to get into this world of thought where you're just like, oh, everybody won MVPs, everybody won all WNBAs. And it's like, no. Like, nobody did this. Like her resume is immaculate. There's just so much on it. Like, she's won 27 awards over the course of her career that it's almost overwhelming to take, like instead of there being like one pinnacle moment, it's like, well, she won a championship this year and she won a championship that year. And she was All-Star Game MVP this year. And she was All-Star Game MVP that year. And it starts to like drown out like how impressive each of those individual feats are. But she's been, I think, considered a top 10, top 15 player since her playing days. She was named to the WNBA top 15 in 2011. If she's not in the top eight when the WNBA releases their list, I think there will be anger.
I would be, and I don't know if we're going to get a ranked list from the WNBA. I think it's just a straight chalk list.
Because they want us to vote on the
thing
GOAT.
Is, so maybe they won't. But if they do the vote on the GOAT thing, that's where it gets interesting, because I do think she could fall out of the top 10 for the sake of recency. Like, I could see certain players getting bumped up just because like their name has been in the back of your head a little more often recently. And I'm not going to sit here and question that other to say like, again, freaking league pass. Like, let us watch the 2001 and 2002 Sparks, because there was like, we really missed out on something special, and they very much probably should have had a three-peat, but I won't go into that. The freaking same Detroit really broke my LA sports heart twice in the same year. And I'm not in a good place to go into it right now. But
so,
yeah, this is huge. I don't know what else we could say at this point. Thank you, Lisa Leslie, for turning down a lucrative near-million-dollar modeling contract in 1997, to join the league. She was going to be worldly successful in one different way and made a name for herself where she is now. And just coached an all-star team that beat Team USA before they won a gold medal. So there's that.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, let's hit our top three.
Oh,
number three, this is where all three of these players, I think, are really fun. And I'm sure everybody's kind of knows.
I think I know what this one's going to be. Top three. And if it is, I'm going to be angry. I don't know why, but I'm going to be angry if it's what I think it is.
Number three is Sue Bird.
Okay, I'm not
Sue
mad.
Bird. Bird wants it. Bird waits, takes, hits. Stewart couldn't finish, no foul. Howard keeps it alive. Bird connects. It's Sue Bird's building. Whitcomb will back it out and get it into the arms of Bird. Bird will take. You bet. She's unconscious right now. Bird will let it wide. Eight to shoot. Bird heaves. Truth. Sue Bird. It is her night.
If I had to tell you, like, just off the hip, if someone on the street was like, hey, what's the most fun you've had watching basketball in, like, the last 5 or 10 years? I've had my men's basketball team have some pretty incredible moments over the last couple of years. The most fun I've had is the community on Twitter turning to Sue Bird and the Seattle Storm versus Diana Taurasi and the Phoenix Mercury in an elimination game.
It's only tied with the 2018 gold medal women's hockey team.
Oh, that, yeah.
That gold medal game is the only thing
that
could possibly touch what Sue did that night. And by the way, her being third has nothing to do with that night. I have no honest idea what to talk about or where to start with a name that many people can comfortably put as number one without question. And I get you. And there's really only one thing in my head that I could say ekes her all the way down to three. And it's that she doesn't have an MVP. That's it.
She
wasn't a rookie of the year, which is insane to me.
Yeah.
Here's something fun. Because she was an all-star her rookie year. And she was a rookie at age 21, which, again, was not the norm. If you've watched a Seattle Storm basketball game since 2002, Sue Bird's been on the roster.
Wild.
There's I don't know if people realize how rare it is to be on one team for your whole career, and even more rare it is to be on one team for a career that spans 20 seasons. I guess she's at 19 seasons, but like 2 decades in the league is an accomplishment on its own, but to do that all with one team and to honestly, like, she could walk into CenturyLink tomorrow and everyone there would be like, ah, Sue Bird, she can go wherever she wants. Like, Seattle is her city, much like Lisa Leslie and LA are just, like, inextricably linked.
And because it's Seattle and there is a, you know, it's the smaller market with the more of a loyalty, it's much more so. I say, it's like, if I had to rank it, Sue Bird is probably the third most famous Seattle athlete of all time. I think you probably go Russ, and then you go
Griffey,
and then it's Sue Bird. Like, that's the three.
And it's close among those three. You could make arguments for any one of those.
And if they ever meet in public, I feel like Russ knows he needs to be like, you won 5 championships.
There's definitely a nervousness there. I mean, it's just like that Carfax commercial of just like, that CarMax commercial.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. Like, four championships, like, oh, I got three. Like, no, yeah. Super.
I'm trying. Like, yeah.
I just love.
Or sorry, I'm working on it. Five gold medals, four championships.
Yeah, there's so much. I think, yeah, there's so much. Like, I don't even know where to start as far as it goes. I mean, obviously the all-time assist leader, right? She's sixth in points. There's a really good fighting chance she's fourth when all is said and done.
Yeah,
Candace is still
close to
Candace is still kicking, but she, depending on when Candace hangs him up, Sue might catch her. I don't think she'll break that. It's gonna take a long time before someone breaks top three.
Right,
a very long time. But like that speaks for itself. It's you go up and down. I mean, it's to be this high in the rankings and never rake in an MVP. Tells you just that's how impactful wild of a player this person was. Oh, by the way, fourth in steals.
Jeez. Yeah, so that's, she, I mean,
all-time record leader in all-star selections. With she is 12. Yeah, no one has more.
Yeah, four-time champion, 12-time all-star. Like her resume is incredible, but ultimately, it's like no one, like the number 10 will never be worn in Seattle again. Like that's just what it comes down to. Like she's reached legendary status. If Seattle can pull off a championship this year, and I think that there's like decent odds that they can pull it off. They're not immortal this season like they were last year, but like they're in the mix. It suddenly becomes like if she has that series at all, like usually I'm super against this sort of thing, but if she has a series that in any way warrants like a finals MVP, it's kind of like, send her off with a championship and an MVP and let this be it. Like, cause five, like five Sue's championships very, and five gold medals. Like
Sue,
even if Stewie has a heck of a series, Sue, it's almost like, come on,
you'll like this comparison. Sue's very much in the same discussion I had when I watched the World Series last year, the Dodgers won and, they give Corey Seager the MVP, but in my head I was like, you gotta give Kershaw that one. Cause he didn't blow a start. Yeah. And it's Kershaw. Yeah, he's been here for so long. You're like, you've got to have, even if it's the one cheap thing she's ever just been handed, you're like, here's, like, this is legacy. You should have this. Yeah. If she plays enough to snuff, I think it makes sense. Here's the thing. Asia Wilson getting a statue at South Carolina, incredible. Sue Bird will and should have a statue in Seattle. Yeah. And if not outside of the Amazon Green Arena.
Yeah.
Just put it outside of Key. Put it somewhere. Like, she deserves to be immortalized. Like, that's how, that's what her, like, before I go beyond any other accolades or whatever she's accomplished, she deserves that much. Like, and I stand pretty firmly by that. I've also said that about Leslie at Staples Center, but there's so many freaking statues at Staples Center. I don't know if you've ever walked around Staples Center. There's like a lot of statues.
So,
yeah.
One thing about Sue Bird is she, so I mentioned this with Cooper. Cooper's only played in like 16% of the seasons in the WNBA. I just did really quick math. Sue Bird has played in 80% of the seasons that the WNBA has existed.
That's dumb.
Awesome.
80% of the time, if you, 80% of the time, if you just hop into a WNBA time traveling booth, Sue Bird's there.
That's so much long. Basketball. Literally that means if you go through basically because she ended league in 2003, so if you go through Comets and the Sparks era, that's the only non-Sue Bird basketball we have.
Yeah,
because that next season playing, she showed up.
She's been playing basketball professionally at an all-star level in Seattle since I was 10 years old.
There are children graduating high school this year who only know Sue Bird as a professional basketball player, like who are born into a world of her as a professional.
She was drafted in 2002, and it's 2021 right now. So this is, this is officially her 20th season.
Awesome. Someday she'll retire.
She's bestieing with teammates' moms right now.
And it'll be great.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start. Mike and I have talked, Mike, with NWSL Nation. We'll get that going again soon, by the way. There's been talks. We're just, it's ongoing. But we've had discussions of, like, could we try and do, like, a Sue Pino side-by-side type of storyline? And then both of us look at each other and, like, we're not paid enough to dedicate that much time. Like it was, it's just impossible.
It's a lot of hours.
It's just a lot of hours. It's a lot of sacrifice. Yeah, I don't even know. The only other thing I'll say, like the one thing it lacks, like the individual hardware isn't quite there. She didn't really pull in much individual hardware other than to say she is one of only 2 3-time Kim Perot Sportsmanship Award winners. And that has nothing to do with what goes on the court. I guess it can in a way, but I mean, it speaks for herself. I mean, legend. And a lot of people could have put her first and they didn't, but the name that I thought was going to be third upset me because in my head I went, this person has to be in the top two, if not number. So I honestly am so nervous about these last two picks because I don't know what it's going to be. I think I know, but then I'm like, I think I
don't know if this is I don't know if this is worth saying just because so many like the WNBA has a wealth of personalities like this. But Sue Bird could like you could not ask for a better ambassador of your game and of your league than Bird. Like even after she retires, if she's on panels, if she's talking sports on ESPN, like she's going to be such a great ally of the game for like for as long as she wants to be involved in.
And what's interesting, and obviously this comes with always comes with emotion now, but I almost see her having that Kobe Bryant style post career of like. She's going to be able to, she knows that anything she does, she's going to do at a phenomenal level. And so I think she's going to choose some unique routes of what she chooses to do. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to see. Like she may do some of those rudimentary media type jobs, you know, talking head at a desk type things, but I also could easily see her just deciding on going a completely different direction with it. And it's going to be really exciting when we finally get to see where that goes. But she's I hope it's not for a long time because she's going to play till she's like 55. So it's really,
she's on the level where if you're wandering around Pike's Place and you see her across the way, you tell your kid like, yo, that's one of the greatest to ever do it. Like she's on that level, which is, I think the coolest level an athlete can ever reach is like telling your kids about him level.
She's the nervous. I can honestly say the most nervous in terms of an athlete that I actually met, not like saw in public, but like was talking to me face to face. I've never been that nervous. I've talked to Kobe Bryant. I've talked to Michael Jordan. I've talked to multiple governors. That's the most nervous I've ever been in front of a human being. It was star power. And then we jinxed the night. She should have officially broke the assist record. She didn't do it till the next game. And I blame myself.
That's all right. That's all right. They won a championship. They won a championship.
I blame myself.
It's all right.
All right, let's move in. Let's move on. Sue is only, she's one of only two players in our top 10 that has not won an MVP. So that is interesting. All right, let's go on to number two.
Why am I nervous?
I feel like when I reveal number two, I'm also revealing number one in reality.
This is like whenever people talk Pinkerton Blue Album. It's just like, what's it gonna be?
Who's it gonna be?
All right, officially the number two on our list of the top 25 WNBA players of all time is the one and only Diana Taurasi.
All right. Hey,
yeah.
Wow.
That's where I got her. That's where
I'm gonna
got
have
her.
To
got her
hold
too.
On. I'm gonna keep myself from not naming number one on accident, but
yep.
Yeah. Okay.
we almost like in our preseason episode on the Mercury, I feel like it was just like if you want to know about Diana Taurasi, go back and listen to our team preview on the Mercury from the start.
Everything that we said about Sue Bird, her too. Like that's almost how I feel. It's like
they're reflections of one another.
Also that ways,
which is why that game against each other was so epic.
They're
it's like
they're
these,
2 points
never lose these games.
They're 2 points separated from each other on my rankings. By the way, that Sue Bird game was like immediately following the DT game when she went off and hit a huge shot with like 3 seconds left to click.
Yeah,
and then was rolling into the night. The night only Diana Taurasi, like when she walked into that game 5 undefeated in do or die scenarios, like that broke her streak. Golly, that whole series was the best.
Diana Taurasi, she was like 13 or 14 and 0 in elimination games Yeah. In like single image. She came into the league at 22, 2 years after Sue Bird, and Phoenix has wisely never let her go.
Her go.
Like she's never going to play in another uniform. She is Phoenix's, like, she's their star. She's going to get the statue. Like Steve said, like these two players we just talked about have defined two decades of WNBA basketball. Like, that's so crazy and so fun for us to get in, like, to the league a couple years ago while they were still, like, even now they're still relevant and meaningful on their, like, very good teams. And I'm so glad that we got into this before, like, having to look back on, like, oh, we kind of missed that era, because it is an era. And it's, yeah, it for years from now, it's going to be referred to so much as, like, oh, that's when, you know, like, 80% of the league was when those two were playing, and now we're in, like, this weird new future where they're out of the league, and that's going to be very different in a couple seasons.
I don't even know where to start on this one, other to say, like, a robbery that she has only one MVP, probably.
Yeah.
We talk about the all-time point scorer, yes. We don't talk about her being fifth in assists. And we should.
Yes.
She registers in the top
25. She actually 25. Led the league in assists.
She registers in top 25 and steals and blocks, which is so Taurasi of her. To be like, F it, you're not shooting does. That. Yeah, there's something about it that's like, what's yeah, her, that's you.
What's you her never consider her.
Yeah.
I was going to say, she's got to be, she might have double the amount of technicals as the second player on the league.
I'm going to find it.
It has to be. I really want to know that stat.
Is possibly one of the most inspiring stories in this league. Not necessarily because I would call it some sort of underdog story or anything like that, but simply to say, she's my favorite sports example of, like, F it, just do it your way. There's something so comforting. Here's the thing. Even as a person who just does a podcast about the WNBA, I'm constantly paranoid in having to deal with idiot trolls and nose-picking incels who think they understand a game when they literally don't understand how to put on deodorant. And it's frustrating enough for me. I can't imagine actually being a player and dedicating my life to it. And there's something comforting knowing that there's someone in the world who's the best at this, who I know doesn't give a shit at all. There's something about it.
And that
there's something about like, DT's like, don't give a crap in it. There's something about that callousness that's like, it weirdly comforts me. I'm the last person she needs to comfort. I'm a white male. I'm nothing. She doesn't have to think about me at all, but there's something about it just to be like, she doesn't care. Why do I care so much what these idiots are saying?
That's like, the thing. I don't think it's even like, oh, I don't care about the trolls. She doesn't care. Like the players we've talked about today, the resumes that we've gone on and on about. If you're the player across from her and you've got that resume, she doesn't care. Like, it doesn't matter to her. If like, she's not intimidated by anybody on this world.
She's like, she's literally she doesn't worried care if you're
a referee. And you're whistling her for a technical foul. She'll say, see you in the lobby later. That's the level we're talking about.
She's that type of player who is only...
I love her.
She's a never-look-backer, right? She's only worried about next game, next, you know, like, next accolade. And I think that's what people really have drawn to her, is that it's the evidence of the work. It's that evidence of that callousness. She brought an interesting style of play to the league that the league hadn't fully seen. I mean, we saw it with Coop, but it came in full force. I mean, she might have the best finals moment of all time, possibly. That clincher against Chicago was huge. I don't know what to say. Like, I'm out of things to say. This is the other one. When Sue's statue goes up in Seattle, DT's statue goes up in Phoenix. It's just like,
there's a handful of players that, like, if I were a coach or a teammate or in any way involved in a team and I could create the perfect player in a lab to coach or to play with, like, that's who she is. Her mentality, her physical skills, her, like, just the fact that she can go and clock in every day at work from age 22 to age 39 in the same city and be like, I want to win here. Like, we know, as basketball fans, we know how rare that is now. And I've talked about it a couple times on this episode already. And the fact that she's just, like, there's, for as fiery as she is on the court, there's still no, there's nothing she would do off the court that would ever distract from success. And that's, like, that's a rare find. She's just, she's the perfect basketball player. She's absolutely the, like, it's like a brand now, but like the Mamba mentality of like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be like, I'm going to make being great like my passion and not just a way of making money or a way of bringing myself fame.
Like, and like not trying to be a part of the crowd, but like, I'm going to do it for me. Like, I remember one of the last big public things that happened before Kobe passed away is he brought his Mamba team to visit the Phoenix Mercury. And it was this cool moment, and there are a lot of great pictures of it. And I've seen 1,000 pictures of play of current players meeting someone with the prowess of a Kobe Bryant, and it's always that like respectful, excited tone. And with DT, it's like leaned over, hands up, talking basketball. Like, and when you transverse that energy onto the court, that's where you see the success rates that you've seen. I think if you want to understand the greatness and prowess of Dina Taurasi, and also something that softened me on the Phoenix Suns during this last playoff run, is this happened a bunch randomly. Watch Devin Booker and watch Chris Paul. Anytime they're like in some sort of media or a camera's on them and they're talking to someone, watch either of them when Taurasi enters a building. I mean, it's like, the queen is presenting and the carpet. They both literally will stop on a dime in the middle of an interview. I'm like, sorry, there's a legend who just walked in. Like, and you can see that. And it's, she was one of those first players that really came in and kind of demanded like respect. And I, you know, there's only so much more that we can say because everyone knows the numbers. Everyone knows the accolades. Old people can dream too. I don't know how much more she has left. When she said at the Olympics, I'll see you in 4 years. I'm not many of us are sitting here like, funny joke. Like, who knows?
Everybody's like, maybe.
My first thought was, that's really funny. And my second thought was, how great would that be?
Yeah, she wouldn't kid. Like
how great.
I was a little shocked. I really thought this was going to be number one. But we'll talk number one in a second, but I'm a little bit shocked at that. But I mean,
I cheat a lot because I actually listed her at two. But if you asked me straight up, like, Logan, who's your GOAT? I'm like, Taurasi.
I think I'm in the same boat of like, if you, well, the thing is, I'm a little different. And we've got to get to number one for me to explain my point on this, but I'm close in that discussion. But there's a really interesting correlation I want to make that people are, some people may not like when they hear it, but I'll try to make it happen. But if, I'm just going to keep rambling.
Okay.
I don't even know.
To say you guys have said everything I've wanted to say about Dina Taurasi. So
you get to carry the number
it's one. Good. It's fine. I'll talk about the top five another time.
Sorry. You carry the number one because I'm just excited. And Steve, I know, is excited because we list these all out and then we want to talk about it, but
I'm amazed. I'm amazed that we're given a super shocker right now. I'm amazed that I got number one right based on what we've compiled. I'm shocked.
So number one, as many people probably can already tell, is it just makes so much sense. Tamika Catchings is our official number one overall on the W25. And who else? I mean, if you want to say numbers for Sue Bird, you want to say numbers for DT. Catch beats both of them pretty handily. Like, she's, if you're just spots, going by numbers,
she's two spots from being top 10 in all five prime single categories. She's 12th in blocks. Otherwise, she's top 10 third points, 8th assists, 4th rebounds, and still the top stealer in the history of the league.
She's and not only that, like, she's won 5 defensive player of the years.
It's
like,
insane.
Like, that's absolutely bonkers. To, for, like, just so everybody knows, just recently Rudy Gobert won his third Defensive Player of the Year in the MNBA, and people are losing their minds saying there's no way that anyone could be a three-time defensive player. Like, it's not true. It's all false. Catch did it five times. All right. Catch did it.
Very convincingly.
She's, you know, if you go through, Candace Parker's won every piece of hardware. So has Catchings. And if you want to go to the off-court stuff, so numbers wise, obviously there, and we've talked a little bit about off-court. So here's some off-court. Well, I guess it's some on-court as well. She is a three times sportsmanship award winner, as well as, you know, along the same lines as Sue Bird. And she's moved into a front office position where she continues to be a day-to-day influencer of the league. So while she's not technically on the floor playing anymore, she's still on a day-to-day basis influencing every element of what's happening in Indiana and throughout the league. So Tamika Catchings, I think, makes so much sense as our W25 number one overall. And I will be shocked if she finishes outside of the top five for the vote for the GOAT. Now, voting is always weird because sometimes there's just weirdness that happens when you send things to the public. Catchings, if she's not in the top five of vote getters, like, people are just out of their minds.
I suspect
there we go.
The vote for the GOAT votes. Oh, I don't like saying that way. I think they will either skew more current, like the Sue Birds and the Diana Taurasi's, or they will skew towards the Comets or the Minnesota Lynx, like,
and
kind of dynasties.
I think that's the and difference.
I think that's too bad because Tamika Catchings has a resume unlike any other.
Tamika could be the greatest player to never be part of a full on dynasty. In any case, that 2012 title team, that's pretty insane. Like, what they were able to pull together, and it was very much like willing it, because who deserved it more? By the way, I know a lot of people get frustrated with all-star selections and they call it arbitrary and they say it doesn't matter. It's a popularity contest. The top three players on these rankings, top all-time all-star selections. DT, Mika, yep,
they're
and
all double-digit. Yeah. Double-digit all-star.
The only players basically do that.
Yeah, yeah, the only time Catchings wasn't an all-star was when there was an Olympics that year.
Yeah.
She was always one of the best players in the league. On the Indiana Fever, which, I'm sorry, now that we know what we know about how that team is run, I think that adds a little something.
it's a harsh thing to say because a part of how that team is run is Tamika Catchings, but we'll move on from that.
She's doing it, yeah.
She's another player that, like, only pulled in one MVP, and that's shocking. Like, it's one of those, like, she has one title. She got finals MVP because who else were you going to hand that to? Like, it was one of those, like, someone could have scored 60 points a game, and it's like, yeah, but she's getting it. Like, it's, this is one
you
of those.
You want to hear a weird stat since you just brought up the MVP thing. Here's, as I'm looking at our top, between our top three players, there are only two MVP awards between the top three. If you go to the next three, our 4, 5, and 6, there's eight MVPs.
I don't think it's a surprise that our top three all played a long time in the league. I do think it's interesting that they're all lifetime, like she was a Fever lifer.
And that's, start to finish.
That's kind of cool that their teams were able to hold on to them.
Maybe we just saw that a lot more at one point. And the interesting thing about this is, because it's weird to me, I think you can realistically, comfortably, I don't even need to hear you make a case, tell me that Catchings is the G to the O to the E to the T, that she's the greatest to ever do it. And I'm willing to sit here and listen to you on that. Like, I'm game for it. It's interesting to me that she's the name that off top of people's brains doesn't quite come up. And it may have been that she played in Indiana. There may have been a lot of different pieces that tie into that when it comes to Tamika Catchings. The thing that's in, but I'll put it this way. This is the last time I get to mention my point system, because this was the most telling. My number two point getter was Lisa Leslie, who got 119 points. Only the top five have over 100 points. 119 is very impressive. Tamika Catchings dropped a 30 burger on her. She has 149 points. Yeah. Like that, it wasn't just based on the curriculum put together, top of my list. She was overwhelmingly the top. Like, there was a point where I thought if someone was the top point getter, I'd like Taurasi or Burt. One of those type players are two or three, and it's close. I may use the star power vote to put them over. I couldn't justify someone 31 points.
She's an outlier.
It was completely like a spot on her own on every chart. And I even played around with some numbers, like, well, what if I weighted it differently? In every single way you could have put it together, she was the overwhelming top point. Like, it was,
The career numbers do back that up. And it's, you're getting that stat from compiling her career numbers, but the win share totals that I've referenced a few times today, she's number one by so much. It'd be much better to show you visually than to explain this, but she's got the number two player, Lauren Jackson, by 20 wins. The gap between number two and number like 14 or 15 is 20 wins. Like, we're talking about the very tippy top, like half of a percent of players adding win shares to their teams. Like, the top 10 is like 59 point this, 59 point that, 60 point this. And then Lauren Jackson somehow is at 73 and Tamika Catchings is at 93. It's such a ridiculous, like, double like Elena Deladon's career numbers. Or Candice, it's Becky Hammon, Candice Dupree, Elena Deladon. They have half as many wins added to their team as Catchings added in her career. Like, that's what?
Yeah.
Like, for every win that Elena Deladon earns the Mystics, Catchings earned two extra wins for the paper. Like,
that's so nuts.
It's interesting to me because it's hard to even. I don't even know. It's so nuts to me every time I look at this, because you talked about the personal numbers are what buoy those points up. Well, all of the accolades and the hardware run there too. The interesting thing is, like, if she squeaks out another MVP, which she should have, it just didn't happen. If she somehow manages to squeak out. Her 2015 team took the Lynx to five games in the finals. Like, yeah, they went the distance. The prime Lynx team. Like, they won in 2017, but 2015 is, they were all at the very top of their game. And if they find a way to sneak over that hurdle and pull off that victory, and she's sitting there with two championships, probably two finals MVPs, it's like, it's probably not even a remote discussion. Like, it's just, it's over. It tells you the weight of what this MVP discussion can do for, like, those types of pieces can do for people, and how close she was for it to be just like, it's not even like Wayne Gretzky level. We're not even going to have the discussion. She's the best of all time.
Yeah. I wonder how much the Maya Moore, Lisa Leslie, like, kind of star power name recognition stuff is going to play into the voting in the coming weeks. Because to me, I think Catchings is like if she's not in the final three, I think it's kind of like, what are you doing? Like,
right.
One of my favorite Catchings stats, I know we've gone really long on this episode, but she was named to the all defensive team in 2005 and then many more times. And then finally in 2016, I think an 11 or 12 year gap between being named to all defensive teams is just kind of like, insanity. Mm-hmm. Like to be,
it's,
like,
it's
obviously
really,
there were lots in between there too, where she was all defense player and defense player of the year.
In fact, to close it out, my last take on this will be, actually there's two things. Like, one of my favorite random, like, I brought up Kobe a lot in his last couple picks. One of my favorite old early photos of him is him, Vanessa, on one of their first dates at Disneyland. And they're riding literally the Dumbo ride together. This was very young Afro Kobe Bryant, and he's wearing a Tennessee jersey. And I remember loving that photo as a kid. It was just a cool looking photo because it's cool Kobe Bryant with his girlfriend, and they're at Disneyland. I see it years later, and it hits me. He's wearing a Tamika Catchings Tennessee jersey, and I loved it. Yeah. And I come to find out, like, they grew up together. When they were in Italy, both their parents were playing in Italy, and so they grew up together.
They were friends. Growing up.
And so it was just a kind of a cool little moment, and it just tells you if, like, her star power was ever, because if you think about her WNBA career, her stint at Tennessee probably only eclipsed by Candace Parker. Like, it was legendary level career that she had there at Stanford itself. The last firm take, and there might be someone who hates me on this, and it might be Kyle, because he lived here for a while. To me, Catchings is the greatest Indiana athlete of all time. She's better than Larry Bird. Oh,
wow.
She's better than Larry Bird. She's better than Peyton Manning.
I don't like the direction this took.
The only name that I think could possibly come close, she may not be better than Dale Earnhardt, but otherwise, she's better than Reggie Miller. Greatest Indiana athlete.
I would take that. I think she is better than Reggie Miller.
She's better than Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
But
I think that if you take what she's accomplished against her,
but
what she's accomplished in her field, in her league, comparatively speaking to everyone else that you've listed, it's no contest.
Like Larry Bird could argue, obviously, better professional career. His only stint with Indiana, obviously,
we don't need to.
The Sycamore is Terre Haute and being from French Lick, but I'm standing by it. Best Indiana athlete of all time. I'm not even questioning it.
I'm not opposed to that idea.
I'm opposed to, I don't think we need to slander anybody in order to.
We're not. That is not a slander. This is zero slander. This is upholding every one of those other athletes and still saying
happy.
She's
I just
best.
Want it clear. I'm perfectly happy slandering Larry Bird. I'm thrilled.
Well, yeah, because you were like a Magic Larry Johnson Bird. Lakers guy.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. He didn't sing in the Like Mike commercial, and I'm still offended, and I'm happy to slander.
Okay.
He seems like an okay dude. I just go Lakers. But like, say what you want to say. Best Indiana athlete of all time is to meet Catchings.
Okay. Well, that officially rounds out our top 25. We went quite a while on this. We hope that it was fun, as fun for you as it was for us. We had a blast breaking down all of these players. This was a ton of fun. We want to hear your ranking. So as this comes out, we want to hear from you what you think and how you would rank your top 25. And send it over to us. Hit us up with a tweet at WNBA Nation Pod, you can hit us with a DM. However you want to do that, we want to hear your top 25. And if you've got any strong takes about our top 25, we want to hear those as well. That's pretty much all we've got. Stay tuned. We're going to have several other episodes coming your way here shortly. And we're excited as we're starting to approach, unfortunately, kind of the end of the regular season of the WNBA season, which is just really sad. But let's not take the sadness. Let's take the excitement of playoffs, baby.
Smile because it happened.
So with that, for WNBA Nation, I'm Kyle Haywood.
Hey, by the way, she's better than Jimmy Chitwood, too. I'm Steve Schwartzman.
Wow. I'm Louie Jones.
And we got you next time.